Amen. It's great to see everybody here tonight. I want to remind us, December 13th, which is a few weeks from now, we're going to be having our appreciation night. And normally, you know, we come in with a lot of sweet stuff, cakes and desserts and stuff. We're going to have that, but this year we want to do stuff a little bit different. Okay, we want to have not just the sweet stuff, but the healthy stuff. Okay? And as a matter of fact, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Because, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up. Around this time of year, a lot of us were making, quote-unquote, New Year's resolutions to start exercising in the new year, to start losing weight and stuff like that. And we need to take care of these bodies that God has given to us. Okay? For starters. And obviously, I'm not an expert in that at all. And so, I never had a six-pack. I just have a one-pack now. And so I pray that all the things we're going to be talking about tonight, honestly, we will take it to heart. So that you and I can really take care of our bodies and so that we can continue to serve God in this life for many, many years to come. Amen? Obviously, we can't serve God when we're sick in bed or we're having health challenges. And I really do believe that a lot of it has to do with our lifestyle and the kind of things we consume. And so I've asked a brother who's an expert in this, Abdul Lindsay, is a dietitian, he's very passionate about this stuff, and he knows what he's talking about. And so he's going to be talking to us tonight. I really pray that all the things he's going to be talking to us about will take it to heart and really put into practice, because I really believe it will help us as we strive to live healthy and productive lives. Amen? Amen. So without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to Abdul Lindsay.
All right. Let me make sure we set up here. Cool. Well, good evening. How everybody's doing? All right. Thanks for that introduction, bro. I'm going to do a little bit more introduction because I know some of you all don't know me. Some of you all do. My name is Abdul Lindsay. I was thinking just a couple of weeks ago, what can I do to show God how grateful I was for being a disciple? Two more days, 20 years. I was baptized November 17th, 1992, at the Tallahassee Church of Christ. We got any Florida State folk in? Okay, all right. I'm also a graduate of UGA as well, so I'm a mutt. I'm a mixed breed of some sorts. But anyway, I've been a disciple 20 years. I've been married a little over 20 years, 20 and a half years to my lovely wife, Henrietta Lindsay. I'd like her to stand up so everybody know who she is. Henrietta. And we are high school sweethearts, so all the sisters should say, okay, all right, amen. Thank God that God got with us early, 6 months into our marriage, because we were heading down that pathway that many people head down. So no further ado, I want to go ahead and pray before we start and we get into the lesson, okay? Father, we thank you so much for just being able to serve you and your kingdom, be able to serve the disciples. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to share with them the things that you've taught me, the things that I have to remind myself of and engage in myself with my own temple and taking care of it so that you can use us, Lord. I know here recently, I have embarked upon, you know, getting myself back in tip-top shape and losing weight and getting back where I need to be. And I thank you for how you've been showing me a lot of things through that in my repentance. I pray that everybody be encouraged and inspired tonight and convicted to take their repentance higher in this area in their lives so that you can use them more powerfully to take care of what you want them to take care of, Father. We love you. Thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that is with us, Father. We thank you. How he strengthens us and helps us to repent, Father, and give us insight into our own hearts to know where we are, to be humble before you, Lord, and to accept where we are and to move forward, Father. And I pray that you'll be with me tonight. Thank you for the responsibility that you've given me to help me to take it higher and preaching this lesson and teaching this lesson to my brothers and sisters. So in Christ's name, I pray these things. Amen. All right. Okay. The title of tonight's lesson is Working from Inside Out. I wanted to really emphasize the fact that Tonight we're going to be talking about a lot of things that impact our outward being or our outward temples. But in order for us to get to impact in our outward temple, we have to really work in our inside of our temples, our hearts, our mindset, things that we eat, consume, and drink. Those are things that impact us from the inside out. And so we're going to talk a lot about spiritual concepts and spiritual lessons that we need to learn and take to heart so that we can really build the temple the way that God wants us to build it. So my subtitle tonight is Spiritual Perspective Regarding Integrating Nutrition and Fitness Concepts into Our Lives. The reason why I chose that as a subtitle is I have been a dietitian for 19 years. I have never had the opportunity to preach the gospel and integrate it with nutrition as I have been given this opportunity tonight. And I just really want to thank Richard for allowing me to be able to do this, to be able to teach and to integrate my faith with also my profession. That's a very unique opportunity. I've been in a lot of high-profile positions. I've been in, you know, low-profile positions as well and never have had that opportunity. Most people in the world, they don't want to hear the parts that really is going to matter to help them to put into practice the knowledge that we teach as dietitians. And I truly believe the answer is with us being disciples first and foremost, and then we can work on the things that we learn. Because if you don't put it into practice, you can have a lot of knowledge, and it won't help your body. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight is the lessons that we need to learn, the heart that we need to have. And as we learn those things, then we can be able to work on the temple from the outside. Don't you hate seeing a clean cup from the outside and then you look inside of it and it's dirty? I work in food and nutrition services every day. I work with veterans in the state of Georgia, decorated veterans. They are soldiers. And when we are, you know, taking care of them, one of the things that my staff really gets upset about sometimes is I always try to talk to them about cleanliness. They don't like to really focus on taking care of some of the small details of their jobs because they think that that's petty. And what I try to get them to see is cleaning is a lot of what we need to be focused on to take care of the veterans when we're taking care of cleaning the dishes and, you know, taking care of things in the kitchen, because it's those things that we don't do, they wind up getting infections or, you know, other kinds of illness that came from what they considered was petty. I think the same is true for us spiritually. I think that a lot of times we take for granted some of the small things in our lives, the inside of the cup that we don't really see with our eyes that we're seeing manifest later outwardly. And we're wondering where these diseases or these illnesses or the signs and symptoms of these illnesses are coming from. And what they are is they're coming from the fact that we're not focused on the details, the inside of the cup that we need to change and get, you know, where it needs to be so that outwardly we can reflect God's glory and good health. I want to read a scripture to you, Matthew 23:26 and Colossians 2:21-23. Because I think this is for all of us. You turn with me, please, over to Matthew 23, verse 26. Because we can be the religious Pharisees as well when it comes down to these things. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law." I'm starting in verse 25. I'm sorry. "And Pharisees, you hypocrites, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." This just says, blind Pharisees first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. And turn with me over to Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 21. And it says, "Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings." So let's just stop there. One of the things that is a big issue today is, we know, is weight. A lot of people are overweight, they're obese, and a lot of people focus on what I need to do real quickly to take care of my weight, my appearance. And so there's a lot of strange diets, a lot of different things that people are trying to do to lose weight quickly, but they're harming their bodies at the same time. One of the things that we want to just try to focus on here is not the weight, okay? We want to focus on your health. We want you to think about some of the things we're going to talk about tonight and really start putting those into practice in your life as it relates to your health and not your weight. I think we get bombarded in the media every day. If you look at, you know, news, and, you know, you look at some of the statistics that I do about our children being overweight, we're eating the wrong types of things, true enough. But the focus really is on weight and how we look. And yes, we're looking at some of the impacts of that because we're concerned about the money issue that is hurting our health insurances and our premiums. But I think the focus is too much on the weight. And actually, as professionals, one of the first things we try to get people to do is make some commitments that they're going to take care of their health and well-being. So I just want to make sure that we're not being hypocritical, that we want this information just for the fact that we just want to look good. We want to appear a certain way. And that's something that I have to be careful about, you know, because I'm a dietitian. You know, obviously that everybody, when you say you're a dietitian, what's the first thing they might look at? Your waistline. I know probably all of you have looked at my waistline since I've been up here. I mean, come on. I mean, that's reality. And I understand that. And I'm reminded of that every day. I actually was convicted maybe about 3 or 4 months ago. I started getting a little chubby because I haven't worked in this aspect of my career in a long time, food and nutrition. So I'm around a lot of food all the time. Whereas I was more macro level in my previous career jobs, so I wasn't around food all the time. So it was easier for me to be more self-controlled. And I really think God is really revealing, you know, that I have some work to do inwardly as well on my self-control. Because, you know, the moment you get food in front of you, then you're really tested on whether or not you're going to be self-controlled. And so everybody's looking at my weight all the time. And I was in this meeting with one of the veterans, and, you know, they're 80, 90, some of them 100 years old. They're going to speak their minds, okay? I mean, they're like children. So, you know, I'm sitting there talking, and I'm counseling them and saying, okay, this is what you need to do. And it's about 4 months ago. And he said, well, Mr. Lindsay, I said, yes, sir. I mean, this guy is supposed to have Alzheimer's and demented. He said, you look a little chubby yourself there. And you know, I was taken back, you know. My pride was a little offended, I guess. And I sat down and said, wow, you know what? I need to really take that to heart. And I started praying about it, and I pulled out my regimen. I said, okay, let me put this into practice in my own life. And I started with my own regimen. We're going to talk about that here lately. But inside the cup is what we need to really be focused on. Let's move on. This is the outline for tonight, and I just want to quickly move through this. And let me pull out my clock here because I know I need to stay on task here. Okay, there we go, 8:04. Okay, we're going to look at some spiritual-related biblical references like we just looked at to kind of set the tone. We're going to look at some of the scientific data and statistics, and hopefully y'all don't fall asleep on that. And then we're going to look at some actionable items. Some things that we want you to be convicted about. Amen. If you're doing them, then, you know, just keep doing them. But if you're not, you'll take these things to heart and so that you can integrate them in your life. And then we're going to look at a beginning plan, an initial plan. And in that plan, we're going to look at some 10 steps that we think you should take back with you as a beginning. Okay. And so let me just say this as well. As a dietitian, I'm licensed in the state of Georgia. It's very important for me to say that the things we're going to talk about tonight for us nutrition tips do not apply if you have certain medical conditions and if you're on certain medicinals. So I just want to say that because I don't want anybody reporting me to the state of Georgia and getting my license pulled, and then I'll be homeless at your house. Okay. So let's go on with objectives. These are some of the objectives we have, and in the spirit of what, you know, Richard tries to do with us every week, we want to have a biblical basis for integrating these concepts in our lives. Amen. You know, it's not just about, you know, Abdul says or the doctor says, the doctor that smokes and is overweight and trying to tell you, you know, I'm just putting that out there. But some doctors are not following what they preach. We're going to give you a scientific overview of some of those things. We're going to provide you the outline. And most importantly, we want to inspire, encourage, and convict you to change, to repent. Okay, if you need to, or to continue on doing what you're doing in a good way. All right, we're going to have a little open kind of discussion here. Anybody want to raise a hand and tell me who are some of these biblical characters on the screen here? All right, Moses. Okay, why do you think I picked Moses as one of the displays of nutrition or fitness? In this case, fitness. He climbed mountains. There we go. Say that loud. Terry, he climbed mountains. Actually, one of the things that came to me, I believe in the Holy Spirit, a couple of weeks ago, is I said, you know, why did God ask Moses to come up the mountain all the time? Because, I mean, I know that he wanted to be separated from the people as well, and he had to be because God is holy, much more holy than we could ever be. But the other thing is there was times he came down to the tent of meeting, okay? I submit to you that he kept Moses active. Moses was 80 to 120 years old. It actually says at the end of his life, he was still strong. His eyes were not weak. And a lot of people don't know, climbing mountains is one of the most strenuous things you can do. I did an estimate of calorie expenditures on climbing mountains. Anybody want to guess how many calories you would expend in climbing a mountain going up 3 or 4 miles? About 3,000 calories. That's what some of us eat in a whole day. Okay? Yes. Moses was up and down mountains. Some of us complain about going up and down steps. Stairs. Okay? Some of us don't buy houses with stairs for that reason. I love my mom. I want to lift her up as an example here. My mom, she's 61 years old. And one of the reasons why she's still in the place she's in now is she has steps in that place. And she goes up and down those steps maybe 20 times in a day. That's one of the ways she gets her exercise in. Okay, what's some other pictures up there I have up there? Who else? Elijah. Tell me about Elijah. He's running ahead of Ahab, who was on a chariot. Now, let me give a disclaimer. I know some of this is miraculous. I know God has strengthened them. But I believe God will strengthen us as well if we take care of our temples. This guy was outrunning. You talk about Usain Bolt. That's what, you know, he was talking about last week. This guy's fasting Usain Bolt. This is stuff of heroes. I mean, this guy outran a chariot with horses. There are some guys who've tried to repeat this, to outrun a horse. I'm talking about one horse. Elijah was outrunning a chariot. Now, we don't know if it had more than one horse or not, but most of the time they had minimum two horses. Okay? What's some other characters I have? So that's two fitness examples. What's another? Yeah, and what they're doing? They're fishing. But are they fishing like fly fishing like we do today or with our little rods? No. They had nets, and they would throw out those nets, and they had to pull in fish. And they would do this. You think they did it leisurely, just a couple hours a day? No. They were out there 12, 14, 15 hours a day. And that's not counting bringing the fish in, cleaning them, and bringing them home. It's a lot of work. I did an estimate of calories of biblical fishing. How many calories do you think they expended in a day? Woo! 6,000 calories. Okay? Amazing. Amazing. Okay, we got another example up there. Our Lord is up there. What is he doing? A little small verse in the Bible. In John, he says, what was he doing when they came back from fishing? He was cooking them breakfast. Now, you brothers who don't want to cook in the house, this is the time for the sister to say amen. Amen. There is nothing wrong. There's nothing that's not masculine about a man cooking. Actually, there's a couple examples in the Bible of men cooking. Yes. And Jesus, our Lord, was cooking his disciples breakfast. And I want to just kind of camp out on that for a minute. Anybody know the single most important meal of the day? Breakfast. The reason why is because breakfast jump starts your calorie burning or expenditure machine. And it's called what? Metabolism. All right. Nutrition 101. We got some good nutrition folks over here. Right. So when you skip breakfast, even though you think you're helping your body to lose weight or expend calories, your body actually goes into a calorie what? Saving mode. Okay. Also, just the other things that helps, you've been fasting all night. Okay. A lot of people don't understand. The reason why it's called breakfast is you're breaking what? The fast from sleeping. So your body is depleted of glucose and energy and nutrients to help you to think right. You wonder why so many people get in car accidents in rush hour traffic going to work. They haven't eaten breakfast. They actually did a survey on that and found a high percentage of people who get in car accidents in the morning. They haven't eaten breakfast. They haven't drinking water. They haven't had anything. And so their minds are not thinking straight. Okay? They're still fasting. And if they have a condition like diabetes or something like that, it can worsen or exacerbate the condition. So our Lord cooked his disciples breakfast. Wow. Incredible example. All right. For you sisters, I haven't forgot about you. I know some examples of sisters in the Bible. Now, we're not going to talk about the one who put the peg in the head of somebody, but we're going to talk about this one here. I thought that was too graphic. Richard probably would have told me, no, bro, that wasn't a good example. All right. So who's up here now? Gleaning. Ruth. Okay, so she was out in the fields gleaning wheat. Okay, so how many calories you think she expended in a day doing that? Depending upon your weight, the estimate could be upward to 2,000-3,000 calories a day. Okay, because they didn't have the machines that throw the wheat on the back. You know, you just dry the machine. They had to actually get down and scoop it. That's some work. Okay, so what's some other examples I have in there of nutrition? There's one other there. Walk, yeah, that's fitness. There's another one there with the disciples. They're actually walking through the fields doing what? They're picking grain, whole grain. Okay? They actually rubbed it in their hands and eating it whole. You talking about whole grain? That's whole grain. I don't think too many of us is eating that kind of whole grain. We get close to it, but we don't get that kind of whole grain. We need to, though. Okay? Walking. Now, I have a statistic about how much they walked. On the average, they walked about 20 miles a day. Okay? 20 miles a day in sandals in the hot weather and also in cold weather as well over there. Okay? 20 miles. Some of us don't walk 2 miles a week, let alone 20 miles in a day. Okay, and these are just some of the examples of nutrition and fitness throughout the Bible. It's riddled throughout the Bible. Just open your eyes, you'll see it. So let's move on. We want to get to the other stuff. Galatians, I'm sorry, Genesis. We'll start at Genesis 1. Turn back to Genesis. We got about 20 more minutes here. I want to move through this. We're not going to read all the scriptures, but some of them I do want to read. So Genesis 1, verse 29. Y'all have to excuse me. I got a new Bible. He already bought me a new one, but it's so thin. Get something bigger. Okay. All right. It says, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. Now, I want to tell you all, us dietitians, we love that, because I call that the first nutrition counseling. God, at the beginning, talks about a lot of things, but he made time very early on to give them instructions on what they would have for food. He knows he made the body. And so if God made that a priority, then it should be our priority as well. So I just wanted to bring that up. Okay? Let's move on here. You have to excuse me because I'm used to having a computer right here. There we go. Okay, the next one I want to read is Genesis 2, verse 16 through 17. And it says, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" So I have some points here that I want to bring about. It says, the first and only commandment written to Adam and Eve about food. The food, he gave advice because it was something about the food that would be harmful to them both physically and spiritually. So there was limitations put on the food. Now, we know that in Christ, all food is good for us, or all food is, let's say this, all food is allowable, not necessarily good for you. That's the point I want to make. There are some foods that you should not eat, and you should eat in a limited amount is what you need to really focus on there. So I just want to make sure that you understand that that was set from the very beginning. Some of it was because of religious reasons. Some of it was other reasons as well. And as dietitians, we find in the research that the research supports that. There's some foods that we should not be eating, but in moderation. So right here is some of the science that supports good nutrition. One of the reasons why I think a lot of people are getting more and more interested in what we teach is because people are dying. Okay. More serious. Okay. People are dying. More, the top leading causes of death in America are, you know, six of them are related directly to nutrition. And one is related to both. Okay. Nutrition and physical activity. So we got heart disease. Over 600,000 people are dying a year from heart disease. The reason why a lot of people usually die of stroke and heart disease is it's asymptomatic. Anybody knows what that means? A lot of times you don't know it's coming on you. Okay? You don't get the outward sickness that you feel when you have influenza or some other kind of condition. It's usually called a silent killer. Okay? So this is a lot of people are dying every year, 600,000 people. Cancer. Cancer is killing nearly as many people. Now, there are certain cancers that cannot be impacted by nutrition and fitness. A lot of it deals with genetics. A lot of it deals with environmental factors. A lot of it deals with behaviors like smoking or drinking alcohol, which is partly a nutrition issue as well. But there are some cancers that's directly related to how much fiber we eat, how much nutrients, certain types of nutrients we get in our food. And now, anybody want to guess what cancers those are? Colon is one. What's the other one? No. Pancreatic could be, but it's one. Liver is a secondary one. The lady should know this one. Breast cancer. That's right. Breast cancer and colon cancer are directly impacted. Alzheimer's disease. What you think can help offset Alzheimer's disease? Good nutrition or physical fitness? Okay. All right. The research is not conclusive on the nutrition piece. Okay. It's correlations. It's looking good. Okay. But what's definitive, believe it or not, is lack of physical activity. That's right. The research is more strong and definitive about the lack of physical activity in our lives causing the onset or the early onset of dementia and Alzheimer's. Okay, dementia, Alzheimer's, a lot of that wasn't even around in biblical days because they were very physically active. 20 miles a day walking up and down, you know, mountains, you're very physically active. Diabetes, we all know this one. So a lot of people dying from diabetes. Diabetes is more of a debilitating disease, okay? A lot of people live with diabetes, but they're restricted in their living, okay? Nutrition plays a huge role with diabetes. Something else plays a huge role with diabetes as well. Physical activity, yes, but our weight. And more specifically, our adiposity, our fatness, okay? So, you know, being overweight is one thing, but how much fat, percentage of fat is your weight is the biggest key factor in developing diabetes. Also hypercholesterolemia as well. Influenza and pneumonia. Would you think of that as being impacted by nutrition and fitness? Okay. Why you think so? Anybody? Yeah. Your immune system is one way. Is if you're not getting enough vitamin C in your body, you can come down with more infections and colds. Also, too, when you work out, and if you work out too much and you work out too quickly, you can erode your immune system as well and come down with influenza and pneumonia. So I wanted to bring that up as well. Nephrotic syndrome. Basically, it's a secondary condition is impacted by diabetes. The renal, your kidneys function, and diabetes kind of work together. The higher your sugar levels, the more your kidneys have to work, the more you're going to come down with nephrotic syndrome and other kinds of conditions. All right, let's move on. I'm going to get down to some of the answers here. Okay. Here's the science advocating for good nutrition. We just talked about healthy eating helps prevent high cholesterol, high blood pressure, helps to reduce the risk of these chronic diseases. Healthy eating also reduces one's risk of developing obesity, osteoporosis, okay, eating enough calcium in your diet, vitamin D helps to prevent osteoporosis. Everybody know what osteoporosis is? I know I'm throwing out a lot of scientific terms. It's when you develop porous bones, your body starts to extrapolate vitamin D, calcium, and other things from your bones that cause them to be more brittle. And you're more easily susceptible to fractures and broken bones. Iron deficiency. There is other iron deficiencies outside of the one related to diet, but there's actually one that's directly related to diet depending upon how much iron is in your body. Dental caries. That's one a lot of people don't really think about. Where do you think dental caries come from with poor nutrition? Sugar. Excessive sugar in your body. Okay, let's move on. All right, biblical foods. So we always want to know, okay, what kind of food should I eat? Okay, the reason why I got this slide up here is I want you all to see the kind of foods in the Bible that are there directly, that are stated in the Bible. These foods here is what I want you to look at your own diet and say, am I eating these things? Okay, now it doesn't mean that these are the only things you need to eat, but this is a good basis to start from. Research has confirmed there's a book that I'm going to leave on the website with ACLC that I would recommend all of you all to read. It's a little thin book, about this thick. It's about a dollar and some cents, and it has all the research related to biblical foods, and it actually is called Biblical Foods, the Healing Foods. And these are a list of them, okay? I got deer on there because I know we're in the state of Georgia, and it's hunting season. Please get out and hunt your deer, okay? They're good for you, actually. Deer are very low in fat. It's got a little gamey taste, but it's an excellent source of protein. I love it. I mean, the brothers in Tallahassee introduced me to it. They used to make venison. So, quail. Anybody eat any quail? I always like to ask that question. Okay. All right. You know, quail is in the grocery stores. You can go in the grocery stores and get quail. Yeah. Yeah. It's in the grocery stores. Yeah. Cheese, cottage cheese and yogurt, curds, rice, barley, manna. I always say when I ever get a chance to ask the Lord about something, I'm going to ask him about manna. I want to know what was in that, okay? Because manna in itself is what he gave them at first only as the only sustaining food they needed. They could have ate manna and been fine. They wanted meat. They wanted other stuff. But it was something in there, nutrient-wise. We don't have manna around now, so we can't analyze it. At least I don't know if it's around. I wish I could have something to analyze. But manna was self-sustaining. Food of angels, I guess. All right, let's move on. I want to get into some of the other kind of foods outside of the fruits and veggies that we're going to talk about a little later. Wine and water. One of the things that a lot of people don't think of as a nutrient or a food substance is water. Okay? Water is one of the most important things you can drink every day. Your body is mostly comprised of water. 80 to 90%, depending upon your skeletal muscle buildup, because everybody have muscles. You might not believe that, but everybody have muscles. I just want to put that out there. It's just some are more developed than others, but everybody have muscles. Okay, so anyway, water is very, very important for you. The average that we should be drinking in a day is 1 ounce of fluid per pound of body weight. Okay, now if you're drinking pure water without, you know, the soups and all the other things, which a lot of people eat or drink, foods that are full of water or fluids, you should have 1 ounce per kilogram body weight. So what you would do is take your weight in pounds, divide it by 2.2, and then multiply it by that, and you'll find out how much water you should have in a day. Obviously, the heavier you are, the what? The more water you're going to need. The more physically active you are, the more water you're going to need. Okay, so I just want to make sure that's very clear. All right, 1 Timothy 4 through 8, and I have that scripture up here so I can just read it from my slide. Amen. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So this scripture I wanted to really bring out because I think a lot of times we limit the impact of this scripture. Okay? We quickly get to the part that says, what? Godliness has value for all things. And we skip over the part that says physical training is of some value. And I'm one of those kind of people. Anything of value, I want to know about it. I want part of it. You know, if it's something that's of a value, I want to hear about it. I want to know about it. I want to learn about it. I want to try to put it into practice in my life. So I really want us to be convicted about the fact that physical training is of some value to us, that we need to find out what that value is and engage in it. All right? Amen? These are some of the values of physical activity, physical training. Control your weight, okay? One of the ways we control our weight is by staying active. We have an equation, very simple arithmetic equation. What we put in versus what we put out equals what? What's left over. That is correct. So if you put in more than what you take out, how much going to be in there? A lot more. Now, that equation is good for certain circumstances. Now, you're talking about money going in a bank account, savings. That's a good thing. But your body being a bank of calories is not a good thing. Okay? And that's how we try to explain to people. It's like, okay, we need to impact that equation by influencing it with physical activity. Reduce your risk for cardiovascular disease. We talked about that. Reduce your risk for type 2 diabetes and metabolic syndrome. We talked about those kind of chronic diseases. Reduce your risk of some cancers. We talked about that. Strengthen your bones and muscles. How will physical activity strengthen your bones and muscles? Anybody want to give it a shot? Go ahead, Steve. Right, that's one way. What's another? Go ahead. Right. Okay, that's with muscles. They atrophy. You're correct. But with the bones, the thing about weight-bearing exercises on bones, one of the reasons why bones become more porous is because they're not being actually used. They're not being strengthened through exercising, through weights. through weight-bearing kind of exercises against gravity. So if those bones are not being strengthened with outside external forces, then they're going to become more brittle. So that's one of the things that I wanted to put out there, because a lot of sisters, a lot of women do not like to physically train as far as anaerobically, lifting weights, weight-bearing. And the research is very conclusive. The type of exercising that's very beneficial to you is the weight-bearing exercising. So it's good to walk. You know, it's good to be able to be cardiovascularly fit, but you also have to encourage, you have to integrate and be encouraged to do physical activity as well of the source of weight-bearing. Improve your ability to perform activities of daily living and increase stability in the elderly. I think that's for everybody. It used to be in the elderly. You got some people can't even walk to their car. You got some people can't tie their shoes. You got some people cannot get out of the bed because they're not physically active. So a lot of their activity levels or fitness levels limits them to be able to do some of the daily activities that we might consider routine. So it's very important that we understand that physical activity helps us to be what we need to be as far as everyday living. Amen? Increase your chances of living longer. And, you know, I'm one of those people where, you know, if I could live to be 120 and still be strong at 120, amen, I want to live to be 120. Now, some people might feel different about that, but Moses seemed like he was active at 120. And so if I can be that way, then I want to be that way so that I can serve God, right? Amen. General nutrition tips. We want to kind of move through these quickly. These are my 19 years of looking at the research, you know, kind of narrowing down what are the practicals of what I would recommend for someone to incorporate in their nutrition or diet plan. 7 to 9 varied fruits and vegetables daily. When I say varied, what I'm talking about? I'm talking about raw, cooked, different colors. You need to be varied in the types of fruits and vegetables or produce you're eating. 3 dairy products, 2 with cultures. Anybody know what I mean by cultures? Yes, yogurt cultures, lactobacillus, acidophilus milk, those kind of things. There's things that they do to help you to fight off infections. We're not going to get into all the biochemistry of it, but 2 of your dairies need to be of a source of cultures. And also they need to be low fat, which I didn't put that on there. We talked about the 1 ounce of fluid per pound body weight. Choose whole grains. The less processed, the better. Okay? So, total bran cereal, those kind of things. Oatmeal, bran rice. Okay, not white rice and white breads and everything that's been robbed of the whole of the oats or the germ. Don't skip meals. We talked about that. Choose a variety of lean proteins. Proteins also includes tofu, nuts, seeds, and also dairy products. But we use those in a separate category. 2 or 3 servings of cold water fish. Anybody know what cold water fish are? Okay. Salmon is the one that's usually touted. Albacore, trout. We got this restaurant we love to go to. It's called Folks. It used to be called, I think, Po Folks, but they changed their name because it was kind of a bad connotation. But Folks, I mean, we still go there. It's economical. Amen. And it's good food. But we like the trout that they serve there. It's very good. It's delicious. They do it grilled or they do it fried. And it's okay to have some fried every now and then. I do eat some fried. I eat desserts, too. I like desserts. I got a bad tooth for desserts. And lastly, a lot of people always ask me, what kind of supplement you would recommend? I only recommend whole food supplements, okay? And what that means basically is that is a product of food in some way. Whether it's a juice or a powder form, that's what I recommend. I do not recommend over-the-counter synthetic vitamins and minerals, okay? Now, I know that's what a lot of people, that's all they can afford or that's all they can, you know, do at this moment, but I don't recommend that. And all the doctors who consult me every day, I tell them the same thing. They're like, dude, what do you want us to do? We're in an institutional setting. You want us to juice for the residents? And yeah, if we could, if they'll let me. But anyway, whole food supplements. The one that I recommend is Juice Plus. There's others out there, okay? You can go to website, write this down, www.nfhjuiceplus.com. You can go there and order Juice Plus if you like, or you can find a Juice Plus distributor. I make my money full-time from a career job, salary job. I started Juice Plus 8 years ago, Henrietta and I. We've been taking it for 8 years. They do have a selling part of it. I don't really sell it. I might have sold it to one or two people in my whole 8 years. I take it because it's good nutrition. So I just wanted to put that out there. Okay. Other general nutrition tips. I do want to say that coffee is okay. Everybody always asks me, can I drink coffee? Is coffee okay? Yes, it's okay. I prefer decaffeinated. Okay. But coffee, 8 to 12 ounces is okay. Okay. Coffee, 8 to 12 ounces. It's okay. Not mugs of coffee. Okay? That's the key there. Not mugs. 8 to 12 ounces. Also, too, I recommend one serving of green tea a day. Okay? I don't recommend a bottled green tea. Okay? It has a lot of sugar in it. They also put sweeteners in it like sorbitol that can cause diarrhea and other things. I recommend just plain tea, green tea bags that you brew in hot water and you put no sugar in it. And it tastes like grass. The plants. Well, and I say that because, you know what? We'll go to a doctor and they'll say, take this. And it tastes like grass too or something worse. But we take it. And it's a pharmaceutical. But then when we tell you to take a medicinal that's of a food source, and you, I can't eat that. Why? Because we're going to get into why. Because a lot of people think of food as far as an appetite, from an appetite perspective instead of from a medicinal perspective. Avoid eating alone. I want to read that scripture because I think it's a very, very good scripture as it relates to overindulgence. And then we're going to close out with a lot of the action items and our plan. Over in Proverbs, Proverbs 9, it's very good scripture. It says, the woman folly is loud, she is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here. She says to those who lack judgment, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. A lot of people who overeat or indulge or who are food addicts, they eat by themselves in secret. You know, because nobody else is watching, at least they think, you know, actually God is watching. And it can be very harmful to you. So I just want to make sure that we really take to heart that some of the issues that we have with the overweight or the battle of the bulges is because we're eating alone and we're not being accountable to what we're eating. Wine. Red wine is good. Brothers say amen. Right. Too much wine is not good. For certain populations, wine is not recommended. Childbearing age women, also people who have a history of alcoholism, people who have renal disease, okay, because it affects your kidneys as well, and also people who have liver disease, okay? So just wanted to say that. All right, physical activity. Here's the tips on physical activity that we recommend. One of them, first and foremost, is that you must seek clearance from your doctor. Okay? I want to make sure that's very clear. Physical activity is a good thing, but if you're not physically fit and you start being physically active, you can cause serious problems. Things from stressed out muscles, broken bones. You can also get into a situation where you have contusions in your muscles. But more importantly, you can have a heart attack. You can have cardiac arrest. If you're taking it too fast and you're getting engaged in too much physical activity without graduating to a higher level, you can get into a very serious medical situation. A lot adequate time to be physically active. Most injuries occur when we don't allow enough time to be physically active. Start out slow. Walking is a good way. I talked about seeking professional help. If you can afford a fitness trainer, something I recommend. Look for ways to integrate physical activity in your daily living. Take the steps. It's okay to park further away. I mean, I'm in parking lots and people are fighting to get closer up to the store. And then they get out in the car and it's like, okay, you could have used a little physical activity. I mean, seriously. I mean, we need to find ways in our daily lives because we don't live in an agriculture-based society or a biblical society where their lives were inundated with physical activity. Graduate, you know, to engaging in more sustained physical activity and weight-bearing exercises. We talked about that. We're coming to an end here. I know I got about 5 more minutes. These scriptures I'm not going to read. I just want you to take them with you. But one of the things I do want to talk about here is self-control over self-indulgence. One of the issues why we're overweight is because we're eating too much and we're not restraining ourselves. We're not controlling ourselves. There are scriptures that show this kind of mentality in the Bible. Okay. One of them, Genesis 25, 29 through 34, you had a guy, Esau, who sold his entire birthrights for a single meal. Okay. He couldn't control himself to the point, his appetite to want something to eat right at the moment, to the point where he sold his whole birthright. And God, you know, puts that out there as something as being sinful. Okay. Overfed. When God is explaining or talking about or describing a group of people who were in sin, one of the things that I took note of that he put in there is that they were overfed, that they ate too much. He made note of that. First Samuel, we know about Eli, the priest. One of the things that God says is, why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people? Okay. One of the things that he recognized was the fact that they were overeating, that they were using the sacrifice to overeat, to self-indulge. Gluttony is a sin. Okay. That's something we want you to walk away from this with convictions about. Gluttony, overeating, gluttony in other areas in our lives as well as sin. But we're talking about eating tonight. Amen. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control is one of the fruits that God expects us to bear in our lives. We have to be self-controlled. Okay, when we're not self-controlled, we start to not be able to be used by God because we're focused on ourselves instead of on what God wants us to do. It's the same way when we allow ourselves to be overindulged with food. We fatten ourselves. We're tired. We cannot be able to be used by God to do the things that he wants us to do. I saw here that he says food for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God would destroy them both. One of the things that was interesting about this is that they were using this folklore or this philosophy to try to justify the fact that just as natural as food is to the body, that we can be sexually immoral because it comes natural to us. And that they use an analogy about food to try to justify sexual immorality in the current church. And God said he's going to destroy them both. We really need to take to heart the seriousness of self-indulgence. Amen. Move on. Control through fasting. Richard has talked about this. Jesus said in those days they will fast. Jesus expects us to fast. Okay. Fasting is one of the ways that we can initiate self-control in our lives. When the veteran said what he said about me and my weight 4 or 5 months ago, one of the first things I started to do was fast and pray to try to initiate some control again in my life from the things that I was not doing right in that regards. By prayer and fasting, we need to focus on the inside of the cup or on relying on God through prayer and fasting to deal with our issues with overindulgence. Amen? All right. We're coming to an end here. We've got about two more slides to go. All right. Balance and moderation are godly pursuits. The man who fears God would avoid all extremes. That's in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 18. In Exodus 16, 18 through 21, it talks about God gave them manna and that they had as much as they needed. It wasn't too much. It wasn't too little. Okay? It was very, very important that they understood that it was only supposed to be for a daily rationing. And that's what we call in dietetics portion control. Okay? And some of us need to apply that in our lives. We need to look at, okay, what do I need for daily rations? Some people say, and they sit down and say, I'm going to eat for tomorrow. Or I'm going to eat for meals to come. I'm hungry. I mean, I hear people say that. They sit down, they go to buffets, and they gorge themselves. Okay? And the idea here is that we need to practice self-discipline and portion control. Interesting note, they engaged in physical activity before they ate. They gathered the manna. Amen? So when we eat next week for Thanksgiving, we need to engage in physical activity. All right. This is the plan, and we're about to end here. I would recommend for you to start and commit to change through prayer and fasting. Okay, that's the first thing I would recommend. It's not enough to just start delving into a lot of research, to go on the website and Google about nutrition and fitness, to check and see what Abdul said was true, which is good. You need to do that too. But you need to start with a commitment to repent through prayer and fasting. Study out self-control. There's a good book called Slim for Him. Anybody heard of that? Okay. Slim for Him is a very good book. Look for it. Google it. It's a great book to talk about self-control from a biblical standpoint. Customize you and your family's action plan, which means first you need to what? Develop an action plan. So you need to sit down with a coach, a health coach, your family, and look at what some of the things that you need to have actionable items on in your life. You can start with this PowerPoint. You can start with, you know, a consultant, a health consultant, your medical doctor, whoever you're going to start with to develop your plan. Recruit a coach and partner. Accountability, discipling. You need that in your life. I mean, there's areas in my life that I have to have a coach in. There's areas in your life you need to have a coach in. This particular area, for the most part, I act as my own coach. But there's times where I need a coach in this as well. I talk to my doctor about things nutrition related as well. Share your action plan with your coach and partner for accountability. Seek medical clearance. Seek the consultation of a registered dietitian. You can go to www.eatright.org, and it says find a dietitian. You put in your zip code, and it'll give you a private practicing dietitian in your area. I'm not a private practicing dietitian. I cannot provide consultation for hundreds of people. I don't have that kind of time or energy. I have to work. So you have to find a private practicing dietitian that does that for a living. There's plenty of them out there. Invest in your health, okay? There's an investment both monetarily, time, energy, thought process, everything. You need to invest in your health. Journal your activities. It's important that you know where your failings are. It's important to know where your rewards are, where you have done well at as well. And pray continually to persevere in your repentance and with your plan. That's tonight's lesson. I want to thank you all for listening. I know it was kind of long-winded. I'm going to go to this last slide here. I want everybody to stand up. We're going to finish out with a little activity. So some of you all might need to step outside the aisles because we're going to actually do it the way they used to do it with the Kingdom Kids, which we haven't done that in a while. We've kind of changed this song up and slowed it down and made it more majestic, and that's good too. But there's sometimes we need to be what? Childlike, right? So what we're going to do is I'm going to start it out. Everybody start with us. And then the stanza number two, I want to pray to God. We're going to have this side of the room say. And then all of us say deep down in our heart. And then I want to read my Bible. We'll have the middle part of the room say. And then all of us say deep down in my heart. And then this part, I want to share the gospel. We'll have this side of the room say. And we all say deep down in my heart. And then we all finish up with, I want to keep his temple. Okay? So, no further ado. Yeah. You want to say something? Oh, okay, all right. Oh, okay. All right, here we go. Now, this is how we're going to do it. I love the Lord Messiah deep down in my heart. I love the Lord Messiah deep down in my heart. Sing it deep, deep, sing down, down, sing deep down in my heart. Hey, sing deep, deep, sing down, down, sing deep down in my heart. I want to pray to God deep down in my heart. Sing it deep, deep, sing down, down, sing deep down in my heart. Hey, sing deep, deep, sing down, down. Down in my heart, I want to read my Bible. Come on now, I want to read my Bible. Deep down in my heart, sing it deep, deep, sing down, down, sing deep in my heart. Hey, sing deep, deep, sing down, down, deep down in my heart. I want to share the gospel. I want to share the gospel. Deep down in my heart, sing it deep, deep, sing down, down, deep down in my heart. Hey, sing it deep, deep. Deep down in my heart, I want to keep my temple. Deep down in my heart, I want to keep this temple. Deep down in my heart, sing deep, deep, sing down, down. Deep down in my heart, hey, sing deep, deep, sing down, down. Sing deep down in my heart, sing deep, deep, sing down, down. Sing deep down in my heart, hey, sing deep, deep, sing down, down. Sing deep down in my heart, hey.
To God be the glory.
Go ahead and remain standing. I think we just burnt only 10 calories on that one. But brothers and sisters, let's put our hands together and show our praise to Abdul. Great job. I really hope and pray that we'll take these things to heart, because I really believe it will change our lives and it will help us to become better instruments that God will continue to use for many years to come. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and we will be dismissed. Father, we love you. We thank you so much, Father, for creating us. We thank you, Father, for the bodies that you've given to us. Father, we want to be better stewards of our temples and your temple. Amen. I pray, God, that you give us the conviction that we need to adopt all the things that Abdul talked to us about tonight. Father, we want to be useful for you on this earth. And Father, we know that without health, we cannot do it. I pray, God, that you'll give us the strength and the conviction to be useful vessels for you. Father, we're grateful, Lord, for all that you bless us with. I pray, God, that you will help us not to take all the blessings for granted, but that, Father, we will use everything in moderation. We're grateful to you, Father, for giving us food that we can eat, that we're even healthy enough to be able to eat. Father, we're so grateful for that. Father, give us a tremendous weekend. Bless us as we leave here tonight. Help us to get home safely. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed.